From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Strong to severe thunderstorms moved across the Boundary Waters on the 13th anniversary of the destructive 1999 blowdown. There was no indication that the storms were anywhere near as strong as the 1999 event, in which thousands of acres of trees were flattened in the BWCAW. But the National Weather Service reported that storms moving across the area may have packed winds of up to 80 miles an hour as well as large hail. Warnings expired by 4 p.m. Wednesday. Lake Country Power's online outage map indicated a number of new outages in St. Louis County, including Ely, Crane Lake, Tower, Orr, Cook, and Side Lake after the storms moved through that afternoon. The Brainerd area and points west were under tornado warnings during the 4th of July. Weather spotters reported funnel clouds, but no tornado touchdowns had been reported. Ping pong ball-sized hail and 2-foot diameter trees down were reported on the north shore of Mille Lacs Lake in Aiken County. The National Weather Service reported that rainfall rates from evening storms reached 2 inches an hour at times in Brainerd, Aiken, and McGregor. Because State Highway 210 remains closed due to severe flood damage, the Minnesota DNR announced that Jay Cook State Park in northeastern Minnesota will also remain closed indefinitely. The highway, which provides the only vehicle access to the park, is impassable due to mudslides and large washed-out sections. Damage estimates are not yet available for the park, but the DNR anticipates losing approximately $175,000 in camping and lodging revenue while the park is closed. Reservations at the park are being canceled through the 31st of October. Jay Cook State Park is the 9th most visited of Minnesota's 75 state parks and recreation areas. It had more than 302,000 total visitors in 2010 and nearly 35,000 overnight visitors. Damage to the campground and park buildings was minimal and no one was hurt, but the park's iconic swinging bridge over the St. Louis River was severely damaged. There has also been extensive damage to the park's 50-mile trail system, and water and sewer service remain unavailable. The Willard Munger State Trail, a popular paved bike route, was also severely damaged by the flooding and remains closed between Carlton to Duluth until further notice. A lot of rain across the Lake Superior watershed pushed up the lake 5 inches in June, more than double the usual 2-inch rise for the month. The International Lake Superior Board of Control reports the lake now sits 9 inches below its long-term average, but 2 inches above the July 1st level for 2011. Many areas saw large rainfall totals for the month, including 10 inches in Duluth. Meanwhile, a drier month for the lakes Michigan and Huron watersheds saw those lakes go up only a half inch in June, a month when they usually rise 2 inches. Huron and Michigan now sit 19 inches below normal for the 1st of July and 8 inches below last year's level at this time. The leading partner in a planned zinc and gold mine in Michigan's Upper Peninsula said it's putting the project on hold and has no plans to continue investing toward its development. Toronto-based Hudbay Minerals said it is suspending work on the Back 40 project, a venture targeting a sulfide ore deposit near the Menominee River. Hudbay owns 51% of the venture, while Aquila Resources Incorporated has a 49% stake. The company's decision was based on capital commitments at 3 other projects, 2 in Canada, 1 in Peru, with the potential to produce stronger returns. Aquila President Tom Quigley said he still expects the Back 40 mine to be built at some point. Planners say the open pit operation would yield gold, zinc, silver, and copper. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has released 2 reports on fishing in the Great Lakes Basin. The Subsistence Fishing Report is an overview of the harvest activities by Native American tribes through treaty rights. It assesses the economic and cultural importance of subsistence harvesting for tribal communities. The Pro Fishing Report acts as a snapshot of pro fishing tournaments. It provides qualitative data for various tournaments, including descriptions of the types of tournaments and information on the rules and other elements. There are 37 federally recognized tribes in the study area, 16 of which engage in subsistence fishing. The annual approximate value of these fishing activities to an individual subsistence household is between $15,000 and $16,000. The main target species for subsistence fishers are walleye, whitefish, yellow perch, and trout. The Pro Fishing Report looks at tournaments in the Great Lakes area. It's estimated that Wisconsin and Minnesota hosts 450 to 700 pro fishing tournaments annually. Bass fishing events seem to be particularly popular within the overall area. An assessment of recreational angling in the study area is anticipated by the end of the year. Five states are continuing a lawsuit against the federal government demanding action to prevent Asian carp from reaching the Great Lakes despite recent congressional action. Legislation approved last month requires the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to complete a plan for shielding the lakes from the invasive carp within 18 months. A quicker timetable was one of the requests in the suit filed in 2010 by states Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. The legislation does not guarantee that the Corps will physically separate Lake Michigan from carp-infested waters in the Mississippi River Basin near Chicago. The lawsuit seeks a court order to do that. Governor Mark Dayton has made clear that there's no if about it. Later this summer, there will be a special session to appropriate state funding to help with the aftermath of the floods that brought destruction last month in northeastern Minnesota. The website Politics in Minnesota reports part of the preparation involves seeking assurances from legislative leadership that their caucuses won't use the session to advance other political aims. Last week, Dayton submitted his application to the Federal Emergency Management Agency, requesting emergency funding, which is currently estimated at $108 million, that to repair damage to public infrastructure. He expects a favorable declaration from the White House in a couple of weeks. That will set up a payment structure in which the federal government covers 75% of damage to public assets, such as roads and school buildings. The remaining 25% will need to be appropriated by state lawmakers in special session. While Dayton expects to get federal relief for public infrastructure replacement, it's far less certain if the feds will grant funding for damage sustained by individual property owners and businesses. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.